Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with the discussion of the Word of God. Last week, we were talking about, we finished pretty much the book of Hebrews. There was a few scriptures to read to conclude it, and I have you guys to read those. But I was trying to go back and focus on, in Hebrews 13, where verse 12, it talks about Christ, being, it says, and I'll read this, it's Hebrews 13 and 12, therefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And then it said, let us therefore go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So that scripture says a lot, and we've been talking about that for the past few weeks, how Christ, through his death, became our high priest, which qualifies him to be our sanctifier. Mm-hmm. Now, God is holy, so therefore he tells us to be holy. And we have to understand God's plan and God's purposes from the very beginning. The very beginning, God intended to impart life to man. I'm getting a little feedback. This was the purpose of him creating man and placing him before the two trees. And I'm going to have y'all mute the line just to get that feedback away. So he placed man before the two trees. When you read in Genesis, you see when God placed man there, he was placed before two trees. God places us, and today these two trees are before us constantly. It's always, it's us every day having to make a decision to choose God and choose life, okay? These trees, one causes us to operate independently of God, and the other is for us to be dependent daily. So if you go to, when we all go to school, whether it's grade school, high school, or college, we go there and we get the teacher's knowledge so that we can graduate and become independent, right? We operate independently of that teacher. We get his knowledge and we take it and we say, okay, I've learned, I passed the test of the grade, and now I'm independent of you now. I got the knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. But in the eyes of God, we don't graduate. We don't operate independently of God. We mature, and we need God's life because man failed to choose the right tree, okay? Man chose the wrong tree, and this tree that he chose causes us to operate independently of God. We operate in our own will, our own mind, our own emotions, our own spirit. So, and according to our own body. So what happened in the fall, because man did not make himself available so that God's life could be imparted into him to be expressed. See, we're to be the expression of God. God was in Christ, and Christ expressed God. So we're the expression of Christ as the church, okay? The mm-hmm. church is to be the expression of Christ, which entails the Godhead. So after Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, he imparted, he says, now he became the life-giving spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. So this is what it means for him to be processed. We have the Spirit of Christ in us, which entails the Godhead, okay? The Father is the source, Christ as the course, and the Spirit as the flow, the executor in our lives. So when we receive Christ, we receive the total package. We receive God, all of God, the triune God, let's put it that way. So what has to happen, the believer has to be changed from the inside out, as we stated earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So Christ, as our heavenly high priest, see, he's a priest, a prophet, and a king. So he's fully God, yet fully man. But he could not operate just as deity, because as deity, we see him in the creation, in the beginning, in the Bible, in the Old Testament. We see him operating as the Spirit of Jehovah. But in the New Testament, we see him as the Spirit of Holiness or the Holy Spirit. Why? Because his life is imparted into man to make man holy. Why does man need to be holy? Because, remember, we said the fall corrupted everything through Satan's usurping man's authority, or God, you know, he came in, he usurped the authority, and now man became, and or man has become degraded. But God's solution to that, God's plan, is to still use man to impart his life into man so that man can express God and represent him in authority. This was given to Adam in the garden. He told him to have dominion, to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth, and over the sea, over the air, the birds, the fowls of the air. So man has authority in the earth and over the sea, over the air, and the prince of the power of the air is Satan. But God will rule Satan through the body of the church, or man, who is his representation here on the earth. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
This is God's purpose and his plan. So redemption was necessary. And we got to see this. If we see this picture, the whole plan, or the full plan of salvation, it'll help us better to comprehend how to apply God's word day in and day out. So we need God. So at salvation, our spirit, well, at the fall, our spirit became dead because God had created our spirit to commune with man. It wasn't until God breathed into man's spirit that he became a life, a living soul. So when the breath of God hit the dust of man, man became a living soul. You see this? The soul of a man is the personality of a man, the person of a man, his mind, his will, his emotion. So after the fall, man operates independently of God. You see this? We have a natural outlook on things. I can be naturally kind, but apart from Christ, it's not good in God's eyes. Remember, we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Didn't say the tree of death. If he said death, then we will all be like, oh, I ain't eating. But it, Satan wraps it up or masks it. Oh, you'll be wise and like God. But God told them, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And what died was the spirit of a man, and man's soul and body became fallen. And eventually, if we stay in that state, man will eventually be eternally separated into hell from God. Amen?
Amen.
So there was a need for redemption. God still wanted to impart his life into man. Okay? And so, therefore, this is why Christ had to come as our representative man. God had to judge sin and unrighteousness. So if he would have judged it before redemption, or God's plan of redemption, if he had not brought in a stopgap measure to bring us back, then we would have been judged, and our judgment would have left us eternally lost in hell. So therefore, God would not have been able to impart his life unto man had he judged us based upon our sin and our failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the purpose of Christ having to become. God was already deity. So therefore, man lost it, and a man needed to redeem us. And because none of us and everybody had fallen, had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God in Christ, he became incarnate, see, wrapped himself in flesh and tabernacled among men. That's in John 1. So when he tabernacled, he brought God to us. Okay? And so now Christ, after paying or redeeming us through his death, burial, and resurrection, God dealt with sin in the old creation. And I'm going this route because we got to lead up to sanctification. So God dealt with sin. And so therefore, the believer now, God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. So what I have to do, my part, is I need to believe in this redemption plan. I need to understand what God has accomplished. See myself as I am, in need of a Savior, because many people don't see themselves as they really are. We think about Nicodemus in John 3, right? He was a wise, moral man. But guess what? He still needed to be born again. So this shows us that our natural wisdom, our natural goodness and morality is not what God is after. You know, many of us are trying to do what's morally right, like you said earlier, Sister Cherry, but we're doing it in the energy of our own strength and ability. This does not please God because it does not have God's life. We're operating independently. So we're operating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're operating independent. Even our Bible reading and our studying and getting doctrines, we can make that become a part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because we're operating apart from the Spirit who gives and brings revelation. That makes sense?
Amen.
So when the Spirit, when I operate with the Spirit, see, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See, my spirit has to become one with his spirit. So now when I'm enlightened by the Spirit of God who convicts me and I see my need for a Savior, guess what? Now I accept, I see this great gift of salvation, and upon my acceptance, this is called regeneration or being born again, because I was born in sin, so there has to be a new birth. And this new birth brings in the life of God, and this is why we call it regeneration. This is one of the first steps of God's salvation experience. I have to be born again, and this is what Nicodemus needed. Nicodemus tried to live the life of religion, which is a study of God, but apart from God. Okay? Nicodemus, in his own strength and behavior, he thought he was morally right, but in the eyes of God, he had the satanic life and nature. So this is why we have to be born again. See, we have to see, many of us try to do all these naturally good things. I can't love my spouse in the energy of my natural man because it's conditional, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm transformed and I allow Christ's life to be imparted in me, and this is what sanctification is, God is imparting his life, his holiness, into me from the inside out. So if I allow this, this is why he told Nicodemus, he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So we have to be, and in essence, it's a form of baptism. And baptism is just simply the cross. It means that we have to be terminated. Termination means there's an end of our sinful and natural life. And this is not just a one-time thing. See, most people think we get saved, okay, I'm good to go, I gave my life, that's it. But no, we eat. If I eat once a day, am I going to have to eat again?
Yeah.
You see this? To sustain this natural life, I have to eat, drink, sleep, whatever. Constantly. It's not a one-time thing. So what do we have to do in order to sustain our spiritual life? I have to continue to eat and drink of his flesh and his blood. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I have to continually, daily mature in the faith, and I should not let anything in this life hinder me from growing and eating and drinking. There should be nothing more important than grasping Christ and eating and drinking Christ daily. It should come a point in life where that's more important than your next meal, than your next breath. This is all a process. And if we put anything else as the preeminence, this should show us there's a need to grow and mature day by day. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Any questions on that before we go further? So while we turn in there, we see that Nicodemus had received from the fall in Adam, it says the satanic life and nature which Nicodemus had received from the fall in Adam had to be terminated. Then the life of God, which has come from the life-giving spirit in Christ's resurrection, could be germinated in him. See, just like a seed. Inside the seed is an embryo. is life in the seed. But in order for the life to come forth, it has to pop the shell. See? So there has to be the death of the shell in order for life to come out. There had to be death of Christ in order for him to produce the many brethren. See this?
Mm-hmm.
Death brings life. Why? Because there's resurrection. See? So if I'm trying to live for Christ and there's no death of self, sin, the world, Satan, no termination, then I can't have true resurrection life. This is why, as you stated earlier, Sister Cherry, when I try to outwardly be nice, act kind, mm-hmm. do good things, that's not terminate. I'm not terminating that inward, the source of my inward corruption. See, positionally we're crucified in the eyes of God, but in actuality, we have to go experience the cross. We have to experience. And the cross is just the part of the process. From there, I have to go on and allow God's life to come forth. Remember? So I receive Christ, the seed of Christ, but Christ's life has to come forth.
Yes.
And as his life, because remember, he's a life-giving spirit. So his spirit is in my spirit, human spirit, and from there, God needs to deal with my soul, which entails my mind, my will, and my emotions. And this is where we put it in part and say, nope, this is how I am, this is what I'm going to be, and y'all ain't changed me because God knows my heart.
So in that, we have to be terminated.
Yes.
Saying, if I say, this is me, you know my heart.
Yes.
I'm not terminated, I'm still living living me inside of me instead of letting the Lord terminate me.
Yes, ma'am. God created us as a tripartite being for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, if a dog has a dog, everything has a life in it, a life spirit. The dog has the spirit of a dog in it, so it barks. You can't make a dog meow, right? So in us, we have our human spirit and our human nature. And at some point in time, and you know, I don't care how kind and nice I am in the energy of my natural man, if you get me on the right day at the right time and push the right buttons,
mm-hmm.
my human irritability is going to show up. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not perfect. We're going to fail. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. But the thing is that God has calculated that at the cross. And he says, when you fail, Peter, you see, he said, I pray your faith fail not. You're going to fail. You're going to deny me, Peter. How many times? Cock going to crow a couple of times. You're going to be going to deny me, was it three times
mm-hmm.
or twice? A couple. Well, Peter denied him. He said, but I pray that your faith fail not. See, God already calculated the failure.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, our failures have been calculated. So don't think that we're supposed to be perfect and never going to make a mistake. No, he's saying when. He said, because Satan wants to sift you and I, and it means an inward agitation to the point of overthrow. There are going to be some things to happen in our lives to inwardly agitate us. But we have to remember not to turn to my soulish man, my emotions, my own desires. I got to turn to my regenerated spirit where Christ dwells. And I got to say, you know what, Lord? Yeah, they're getting on my nerves. Yes. Oh, my Lord, they're getting on my nerves. But, Lord, I choose grace. I choose your life. I want your life to be expressed through me. If I have to be, I choose, Lord, to allow you to decrease me, and I'll be quick to hear and slow to speak. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God will give us the ability to recognize when an opportunity for us to operate in the flesh or the spirit arises. You'll be aware. You won't just fly off the handle. Now, there was a time where we used to just fly off the handle, right? Some of us may still do. But what happens is as we fail God, a just man does what? Fall down how many times?
Seven times.
But what happens? You get back up. Lord, I was wrong. I did the wrong. Oh, Lord, help me. You see? But as we turn, and this is what we're going to see here about sanctification, we're being sanctified by truth, okay? And the word is truth. As I turn in prayer to the Lord, turn to the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and He dwells in me, not my emotions. As I turn to the Lord, then God gives me the grace to stand. He said, be confirmed in grace, stand in grace. Because grace is God's life in me, operating, waiting for an opportunity to come forth. But I have to be crucified. See?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, we said earlier in Hebrews 13:12, Christ was a sanctifier, right? Because of
mm-hmm.
his death and his resurrection and ascension. So here he says, and I'm reading in expanded Greek, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. So God, after regeneration, he has to, remember, his life has come into our spirit. And in John 15, it talks about how God, Christ said how he wanted to make his abode in us and how he wants to settle down. And the purpose of the spirit being placed in us, because if he's in our spirit, we don't want him just to be imprisoned in the spirit. We want him to reign, to permeate, and to saturate, to spread out. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. God wants to fill our temple. We're the vessels of God, right? So in order for God to be expressed, he has to fill us. Body, soul, and spirit, okay? So he begins or communes with us. Through Christ's death, he has uplifted our spirit from the fallen state or nature that it was in, and he's working to uplift also body, soul, our body and soul, which entails the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff that takes place in sanctification, which also includes transformation. And that's in Romans chapter 12, where he tells us to be ye transformed through a renewed mind. Okay? This is all a part of the process of the cross, which first has to terminate in order to germinate. Okay? So in order for the seed or the fruit in John 15 and Galatians chapter 5, you see the fruit of the Spirit that come forth. Now, you can have fruit of the Spirit or works of the flesh, even as a Christian. What shows up? Is it the works of the flesh? And that's based upon you and I looking to our soulish, our emotions, our mind, and our will. If my mind is not changed, my thoughts and all my preconceived ideas, my upbringings, previous teachings and doctrines will determine whether I turn to Christ in the Spirit and allow his transforming work to take place in my life. If I don't direct my mind, remember, we read about in Hebrews running the race. Running this race, he says in Hebrews 12 that we had to run the race with patience, looking to who? Y'all help me out.
Jesus Christ, the author and finisher.
Yes. Yes. And the looking meant we had to look away. In the Greek, it says, look away from all that distracts, looking to Jesus. See, we say, oh, I'm looking to Jesus. But at the same time, you can't look at two things at one time. So you're saying you're looking to Jesus, but you're looking at all these things, the cares of the world, and all these things that come to distract. And what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off Christ? When he was caught, when he told the Lord he was trying to walk on the water, what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off Christ?
started drowning.
Right.
Going down in the water.
And this is us. We will drown in our situations, in our circumstances, in whatever's happening around you and I. You cannot look at Christ and look at what's happening and going on in your life. When you don't know what to do and when there's you feel weak, that's a good position to be in. Because I can say, we can say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know, and he's in us, remember?
Yes.
So
Amen.
We say this is a perfect opportunity for you to show up. For you, when I'm weak, he says what? It's a good thing because when you're weak, then Christ can be what?
Strong.
Y'all see this? His life can come forth strong.
Amen.
So it's good to say when you don't know what to do because now you're not relying on your own ability, your own strength, your own mind. You and I have to look to Christ in the Spirit, according to the Spirit that dwells in us.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
So he is responsible, it says, and the God of peace himself will sanctify you and I wholly. Meaning our body, soul, and spirit. God's taking care of that at the cross. That's his. He has to do that. I have to be willing to work with him. Okay?
Yes.
So let me read some notes. Any questions before I go further? Because we're talking about sanctification here. This is one part of the, we talked about regeneration and justification. God has declared that we were innocent. And then, in Romans 5, it talks about how we were reconciled. That's another aspect of the salvation experience because we were not only fallen and separated, we were enemies to God.
Yes, amen.
See this? We were enemies, and so we had to be reconciled. This is what the blood of Christ has done. So this is why he's fully God and fully man. This is what his death accomplished for us. He not only redeemed, he forgave us of our sin, he reconciled us, y'all see, sanctifies us, justifies us, transforms us, conforms us. See all these things?
Yes.
And we rarely hear about it, all these things that take place in our salvation experience. All we hear is, oh, we had somebody to give their life to Christ, and that's it. And we sit down, we put them to work, get them mm-hmm. in church, and now we separate them further away from Christ.
Amen.
This is why we have to understand the full salvation, because Paul said while God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, see this, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have to do the ministry. We have to minister Christ to others to bring them back to the Father through Christ.
Yes.
This is our ministry. Not to look down on a sinner, because the world is doing what the world does. Satan has them. He's blinded their minds. So we're not to, oh, I got mine, I'm good to go. No, that's not what we're called here for. We're to reconcile people back. We have the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
These folks are enemies with God, and we need to reconcile them back to God the Father through Christ. Amen.
Miss Stevie.
Yes, ma'am.
And that is so true. That is part that of being a Christian. We are supposed to reconcile the sinners to come in. But it seems as though we're not about the sinners. We're about ourselves and what I can get out of going to church. I can get to be the deacon. I can get to be this. I can get to be that. Instead of thinking about that person who's not saved.
Right. Amen. And it's because his life is not being expressed, not being worked out in us. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If his life is being expressed and we represent God's authority in the earth, we will mimic Christ in his actions because it is his spirit that's at work and his life coming forth in and through us.
Yes.
So here, let me say a few things about this before we go further into the sanctification. It says, to be a Christian is not a matter of being improved. To be a Christian is to be born of God, which means that in addition to our human life, we receive God's life. Because we were all born in sin, we are all sinners. So how can a sinner stop sinning? It's not possible. So what you do is governed by your life, okay? Even though you are forgiven by God, your sins, your sinful nature will cause you to sin again. So this is why we need another life in us, a sinless life. This is why if you look in the Old Testament, at the Old Testament saints, they had to continually offer the sacrifices. Why? It didn't remove sin, but the offering of the sacrifices only covered sin. It was temporary. Why? Because it was a constant reminder. After they offered that, then they went back to the sinning because of the nature. You see this? So this is why they did not have another life in them, dwelling in them. This didn't happen until Christ came and he had to live, go through human suffering, go through the cross, go through death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. Then he was able to impart his life into us. See this? The life-giving spirit. So after having, they didn't have it. So that's why they had to go through the motions of offering the animal sacrifice and the law. That was used temporarily until Christ would come. And we talked about that in Galatians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after Christ came, now at salvation or regeneration or when we're born again, it brings another life. It brings this new life into us, or God's life. And this very life is the life that Adam gave up when he turned from the tree of life to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when we believe in Christ, we can be born of God and receive him as life. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So, but after receiving God's life, the satanic nature within man is a no. So sinful, lowly men like us can now grow in God's life to become the sons of God, to express him. We're getting to sanctification. This growth process means that God's life has been added to you and I, and we're being changed. This is why you can look at your life, let's say, today and see that was different 5 years ago.
Yes.
I had a situation or some circumstance that happened, and say maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I struggled with that. But today, it didn't bother.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See what I'm saying? It's because God's life at regeneration or when I was saved was added to me. Now,
yes.
You can grow fast or you can grow slow. It all depends on how much you're willing to let God work in you and I, how much you are willing to decrease and how much you're willing to increase. Some people go faster than others because some are more consecrated or more separated unto God than others. And this all depends on you and your relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see this?
Yes.
So this is why we're all saved, but at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all be our works, what we did, what we allowed, how far we allowed God to work in us will be judged. See this? So God will look and say, okay, you were saved. Great, awesome. But your works, what you allowed the Spirit of God, how much you allowed him to transform you inwardly will determine the will of God that was allowed to be accomplished in and through you and I while here on earth. Remember, God's purpose and desire is to have a people or a body to express him and represent him in his authority. That's what he told Adam and Eve. That purpose still stands today, and he uses it to govern his body or the body of Christ that's submitted and connected to the head, Christ. This is how we get our life supply and life flow, through Christ as the head. And if I'm not submitted to the head, well, this is how I am and this is how I'm going to be and I'm not changing. Okay, then you're rejecting his life from being imparted to you so that his life can permeate and saturate your entire being, holy, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
Why? He says, so that we can be preserved complete and without blame. Why do you think he put that without blame? Because when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not being judged about my salvation, but I'm being judged based upon what I did or allowed God to do in my body, soul, and spirit here on earth. See that? He wants to preserve us complete without blame at the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about at his coming. See, we're going to have to be judged. Our works will be judged. We're saved. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3, we will make it in, but we will suffer loss. This goes back to the overcoming believers. And you can see that in Revelations when he talks to the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I will give you, and whoever, and some of the churches, some were granted the tree of life. Some were granted a white robe. Some were granted a crown. Some were granted, y'all see what I'm saying? But these folks will rule and reign with Christ in and during the millennial reign. Now, it will take, for the folks that did not go on and become overcomers in this life, you still have to be worked upon. And they call it the outer darkness, and I don't want to get in details with this here, but you will have to be worked upon until you are holy, sanctified, complete, without blame. And then at the perfect age, when Christ or God comes back with his bride, the entire, all of the believers, you see that in Revelation, show up. Mm-hmm. And that's at the perfect age when God's kingdom is here, comes down from heaven on earth, okay? So this is why he says he wants to preserve us holy, body, soul, and spirit, complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, I'm going to go more into sanctification from there, but let's keep going. 24, please.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Okay, so here it says the faithful God who called us will also sanctify us wholly and preserve our entire being complete. See that? So the God of peace is the sanctifier. His sanctification brings in peace. When we are wholly sanctified by him from within, we have peace with him and with man in every way. So sanctification is simply to set us apart or to separate us unto God. This is why we were saved. We were saved because we were taken out of the common things of the world system, the ways of the world, the culture of the world. See, Satan is the god of the world system. He created this world system. And what's in the world system? 1 John tells us that it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Having a car is not bad. But when the lust of having, of wanting to have the latest and greatest and the best looking car so that I can be looked at like I got it going on, that's the pride of life. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Having a car is not the car, it's not the money, but it's when the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life get a hold of it. Because out inwardly, there's no satisfaction or completion from within by God. So therefore, we look to things to make us, this is what people without God or who operates independently of God, this is what they strive for. And those things will never satisfy. So we go on and we keep wanting more, wanting the you know, better, bigger, whatever, and it never brings satisfaction. And you find yourself going after these things more and more, the lust of the flesh. Lust, I see it, gotta have it. Oh, that's my desire. Oh, I can look like I'm on top of the world and I got it all. But why do you think the people of the world, especially Hollywood, they're not happy? Especially those that have money and have everything, but yet without God, they're not happy. So these things can never fill the void because the soul is so big that only God can satisfy it. So it takes, this is why the church is there, to minister to the spirit so that the spirit can be regenerated, you see, so that man can be satisfied in spirit with Christ.
Amen.
And then Christ can fill all the voids of the soul and the body, the mind, the will, the emotion. That's true satisfaction.
Amen.
So you and I, in at sanctification, God works through the spirit to pull us. He called us. And he separates us, and when I answer the call, I'm to be taken out of the world and its interests. See, don't get caught up in the culture. Don't get caught up in race. Don't get caught up in the politics, because that's not your fight and mine. Our fight is to represent, express God, and represent his authority here in the earth. So if I'm caught up with color, and I'm caught up with race and all these different things, and I'm not holding to the head, because he said in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. He sees us all. We should be covered in the blood.
Yes, amen.
That's the color God is looking for. When those folks went into the death angel was coming through, and he didn't say if you're black or if you're white, go in this house or that house. He said, go into the house and apply the blood, and if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. See that? We can't let the culture and all these changes, that's the world system, the ages that we live in, it changes constantly. What was popular way back when, it comes back around, and he just got new people and faces and things, but these fads and stuff, let the Spirit of God transform you. The Spirit of God will permeate our lives. He'll tell you how to dress. He'll tell you what to wear. He'll tell you how to do your hair. See, we don't have to get in, we don't have to change with the times and the culture.
Yes.
The Spirit of God, he's there. He's with you and I. He's the counselor.
Amen.
He's the comforter. You see this?
Yes.
And so by him being in us, we're not doing things because the world is changing. The world system is constantly changing. And that does not mean that I have to go with the flow. When I see these young folks, and especially, you know, you see them out there on the social media network, and they're throwing up gang signs and this and that. They don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the young folks, the old folks too.
Amen.
They don't know who they are, and they're looking for something to mimic. But we have Christ. See?
Yes.
Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So Satan blinds the minds of those who are in the world system, and he prevents the gospel from being presented to them. This is why God needs the church. Not just us individual beings, but he needs a body, collective organism, a living organism, because it is the church that he will use during these times of degradation, when things get bad and we're accepting homosexuality and abortion, and we're accepting gay marriage, and we're calling all these things normal. We are uncommon. We're living in a common world, but we are not common people. We're uncommon because we have a nature and a God in us who's imparting his nature in us. So the world is not going to see things from our perspective. So don't expect to be embraced by the world and its system. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions before I go further? Okay. So if you read, and I just want to say this right here, if you read in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27, it tells us that at regeneration we receive three wonderful things. First, we receive a new heart, a heart of flesh to replace our old stony heart. See that? Second, we receive a new spirit. So this is our old deadened spirit renewed and enlivened by the life-giving spirit. So now, once our spirit becomes alive, it can fully function to contact God's spirit and to enjoy his full salvation. And then third, we receive the Spirit of God himself to come to indwell us. See that? And that's in Second Peter, he talks about his divine nature. So we receive those things that regenerate. You may not feel a certain way, but that's in the mind of God and in the reality of God, that's what happens. You and I have to get a new heart, a heart of flesh, to replace that stony heart. And we have to experience God's love and grace. So every day that we grow through sanctification, which means that God is imparting his life to us, we're set apart. As long as I'm set apart from the world and I'm turning to God, so let me say sanctification is to set apart, separate unto God from things common or profane. So God, if I go around and I allow the profane things I hear, I see, I watch, believe it or not, those things can affect your sanctification. Because remember, he's separating us from it. So if he separates or set us apart from it, don't say, oh, I don't want them to think I'm being a holy roller, and I don't want them to think blah, blah, blah. Y'all see, no, if God is separating you, there's some things that you stand for and stand on that the world may not approve of. And just because the world ridicules you because of it, there should be no, well, I don't know, I don't want them to think this of me. No, if you're crucified with Christ and terminated, you don't care what they think of you. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So in we're still talking about verse 23, the sanctification, and then we'll go to Romans 6 in a second. Let me read this here. So it says here, our or entirely or thoroughly to the consummation, God sanctifies us wholly so that no part of our being of either our spirit or soul or body will be left common or profane. This is why our communication, all those things you think about from the day you were saved to where you are now, I'm sure your communication has changed, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Some of the things you used to watch or do or what have you, it has changed or should be changing. This is God in you and I. Now, I can make God a prisoner in my spirit by not allowing him to come forth and come out. And this is, and we talked about last week, and he told us, quench not the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when I refuse to grow or let God's life work in me, meaning to terminate me so that he can come forth and saturate me and fill my temple, what happens is I have no other choice but to express God in my day-to-day living. When God fills you and you fill with the Spirit, and you just, y'all know how it is, you just sometimes, and like I told you, I was at the church, and it was a quiet Baptist church, and I was there, and at this church, we didn't really, they didn't really praise the Lord out loud or what have you, but I was growing, and the message of the cross, and had gotten truth, and I was at the keyboard, and the pastor was preaching, and the Spirit of God was bubbling inside of me, and I was trying to... I was trying to hold it and keep him from expressing himself through me, and I just bubbled over and it exploded. And it came out. He came out.
Amen.
What am I saying? I'm saying that Jeremiah says, like fire, shut up in the bones, right?
Mm-hmm.
When God's life is like a consuming fire, he consumes every. We read that in Hebrews. Hebrews 2 or 13, I'm 12 or 13. He's a consuming fire. Whatever's not like him, God has to consume, right?
Yes.
Because he's making us where we're an unshakable kingdom. See, we got to become unshaken by the world and the things and the corruption of this world, and we got to be able to stand on truth, on the truth of his gospel. Even, I don't care how bad it is, because you remember we talked about the Hebrew boys. They were taken from their land in Jerusalem and placed in Babylonian captivity. They were the best of the king's household placed there. The first thing they said, the king told them, told the eunuchs to give them the king's best food, the best that the king had to offer. How many of you know the best that the world has to offer is not God's best?
Amen. That's right.
I don't care what the best is according to the world, it's not God's best. So they were going to give them this food and wine and these drinks and all this stuff, and they were like, wait a minute, we're not used to eating this. We're used to eating what God has required because we're the temple. See, we got to maintain this temple, and we know that's just going to bring us down. And the first thing they said, give us 10 days and give us the food that they normally eat and what have you. And they look better in their bodies than what was considered the king's best food. See, y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God gives us the wisdom and the insight. Don't fall for what the world considers the best. They may say they're the best doctors, but we have the greatest physician. You see this? You see what I'm saying? Don't put your trust in the world system. The system of the world, when you look at the Israelites in Egypt, they were in the system of the world controlled by Pharaoh, who was a type of Satan. And they thought that the leeks and the melon and the cucumbers, they thought that was better than what God had to offer them in a wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, we just think what the world has to say and has to offer is better than what God has. Y'all see what I'm saying? God had separated them from Egypt, the world. And that's what Egypt was, a type of the world. They were held captives and slaves in the world system. That's all the world system can do is bring bondage to us. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
And the world system is, Satan is never, he's going to make it look like you have freedom, and he'll make it look like that you got the best food, you're eating the leeks and the melons and the cucumbers and the fish or whatever. But guess what? They were in slavery. They were in captivity. They ignored the captivity and were focused on the good food they were eating. Y'all see, this is many of us. We're the same way. We're in spiritual captivity and bondage to the world, to the lust of it. And we think, well, I got filet mignon tonight. And I got the big house. And I got the best car. But look at the woman at the well. In religion, but yet in bondage to sin. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't allow God to saturate and separate us and sanctify and impart his life and his nature, sanctification is God himself. Christ is sanctification. So when I have Christ, I have sanctification. We just saw it. Christ is the sanctifier. Didn't we read that?
Amen.
He is sanctification. So we have God's life in us. He is sanctification, and he is holy. And he told us to be holy because he is holy. And sanctification is holiness. That's what holiness is.
Yes.
It's not what, like you said earlier, Sister Cherry, we're trying to look for holiness by doing things and tearing for the Spirit, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. But sanctification and holiness is God himself.
Amen.
And if God himself is in us, he is in us to do the work of sanctification. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's go to Romans. I think I told y'all 6 and verse. I may start at 12, but let me make sure. We'll start at verse 16.
16.
I tell you what, 12 looks so good. Let's start at 12. My main focus I wanted was verse 19, but let's start at 12. We'll read this so we can get a better context of it, okay?
Okay. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
Okay, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's in our mortal bodies, okay? This is why we need the cross. God deals with sin in us, in our bodies, through the cross, and the lust or the power that sin has over us. Keep going.
Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God.
All right. Understand this. It says here in verse 12, the notes, this is to reject sin and to cooperate with the Spirit. When it says, do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body so that you obey the body's lust. So I have to reject sin, meaning that I have the power and the life of Christ in me to do this. It's not something I got to, let me go and see if I can, I don't know. No, you have the power to say no. And it's only as you and I are yielded to God's process, the cross, which first terminates me. I have to submit myself to him. And as I submit, that means that I will decrease and his life comes forth and increases in me. So I can reject sin and cooperate with the Spirit. That's all it's saying. Then he says in 13, neither present your members as weapons in the expanded Greek. It says as weapons of unrighteousness to sin. See? But present yourselves to God as alive from the dead and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. See, our members are weapons because we have to deal with Satan and his corrupt kingdom. So presenting ourselves and our members to God is the result of seeing the facts of our having been crucified and resurrected. Remember, the only way I can see life comes out of death. When Lazarus died, the only way that he could be resurrected and have resurrection life was he had to first die. There had to be death. The only way Christ could come forth in power was by first through death, right? Mm-hmm. The only way that a seed can bring forth fruit, the seed has to die. The shell has to die. It has to go in the ground, and the dirt and it works against the shell, and it pops it, and then life comes out. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
If there is no death, if I'm not in the likeness of his death, then I won't be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we need to die. This is the whole point and purpose.
Yes.
This is why I have to be crucified with Christ, because crucifixion brings death and termination of self, sin, the world, and Satan. Okay? So to see the reality of it, I have to experience this on a day-to-day basis. And God will present many opportunities. This is the suffering that we encounter in bearing the marks or the sufferings of Christ outside the camp. Some sufferings are allowed by God because he wants life to be produced in and through us. Those sufferings will bring forth life. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those sufferings will cause us to depend on him so that his life can flow. So sometimes some of your situations and circumstances you find yourself in is necessary, Job, because God's life, what he got after the fact, was way better than what he had previously. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes your life is on display before Satan and his minions and before others in the world to show that you're not just living for God because of the good things God has done for you. He said,
yeah,
surely Job loves you for naught. You take everything away from him, he ain't going to serve you. God proved to Satan that this was not the case. God used the Hebrew boys and Daniel to prove that even though they were taken out of their land and placed into captivity, that they loved and trusted God enough to go into a fiery furnace, to go into a lion's den. Y'all see what I'm saying? Even in your most dreadful situations and circumstances, you and I have to trust God. This is what sanctification does. It causes us to be able to stand in grace and be confirmed by it in the most dreadful and difficult situations.
Amen.
This is God's kingdom in operation here on the earth and his body. So this is why you and I have to learn to trust God and allow him to live out his life through us so that God, we can be a representation of, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see this?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we're not allowing this process to take place, we're delaying God's coming, God's kingdom, and his will on the earth. And on that note, we're going to have to close. But for those on the line, we pray, we ask that you hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We kind of said some things that you probably have to go back and study. And we laid out the scriptures for you. So, but we pray that you'll come next week, and we'll continue with this teaching. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.